Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Well, I'm so glad you're here today. And to begin, I want to start with a passage. I just feel like it's the perfect place to begin today. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good." How many guys agree? God is so good. Why don't you just say, let's just say that. Say, "God is so good."
God is so good.
"And by raising Jesus from death, he has given us new life." Everyone say new life. "And a hope." Everyone say hope.
"A hope
that lives on." In other words, God, his goodness, it equals new life, and it equals an everlasting hope for each and every one of us. And here's what I know is that some of us, we come here today and we need life. Some of us need hope. And I do want you to know that you are here for a reason today. I really, truly believe that, even if you don't realize it. Maybe you're like, "Well, a friend invited me. I'm just here because it's Easter. I'm just here because, you know, I come to church." I get it, but I believe you are here for a reason, and I want you to believe it too. Because if I were you, here's what I would do. I'd say, "Man, if God has me here for a reason today, well, I better lean in. I better open my heart and say, Lord, whatever you have for me today, I want to receive it. I believe God is going to breathe life today." That's what he does on Resurrection Sunday. He breathes life. Things that have felt done or dry or even dead are going to have new life and new hope today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I want to pray before we go into this word. And I'm going to pray specifically just for, something real to happen today. I mean, we get a lot of fake, we get a lot of synthetic, we get a lot of stuff that's just surfacey, but today I want to pray the real, real stuff of life into this place. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we need you today. We want you today. We pray your life into this place, and we do pray the real, real stuff. We pray, Father, that what you have for us today, the Lord, we're open and ready to receive it. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see what you have. We pray this in your holy name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, today, we've obviously titled this day, Holy Roar. And by the way, what an amazing job our worship team did with that new song, right? I mean, come on. Got a song in our repertoire now called Holy Roar. I love it. I want you to think about a roar for a moment. In fact, everybody just say roar.
Roar.
No, like say it. You know, everybody say roar.
Roar.
Don't you love how the word roar is a roar? Like, the word is what it is, and I think that's amazing. And when you think about the word roar, I'm sure all sorts of things come to mind, starting with a lion, right? This majestic, this powerful, there's nothing quite like the roaring lion. Or perhaps we think of, like, I don't know, maybe a roaring crowd, right? Erupting in cheers, like will be happening for the OKC Thunder in game one today of the NBA playoffs. Let's go. By the way, I can't believe that the NBA scheduled a game at noon in Oklahoma on Easter Sunday. I'm going to send a message. Dear at NBA, this is the dumbest move since Luka to the Lakers. Anyway. Sorry, no more NBA jokes, but Thunder and Four. So lions roar, crowds roar, and I would say things like oceans roar, and fires roar, and wind roars, and waterfalls roar, engines roar. Anybody hear like the start of a NASCAR race, the engines roar? Me neither. I've never watched NASCAR, but I get it. Many things roar without audible noise. Things like justice roars, forgiveness roars, revolutions roar, love roars. And 2,000 years ago, the loudest, most lasting roar ever heard out of heaven into earth was let out when Jesus walked out of that tomb. The resurrection is the holy roar heard through every generation because it is the roar of hope and healing and the roar of heaven into earth. Does anybody agree?
Yeah.
Some of you have heard that roar and you've responded to it. Others of you, you've heard it. You weren't quite sure what to do with it. Maybe you ignored it. And some of you, you're going to hear that roar again today and it's going to touch your heart. So to hear the sound of that roar, we have to start with the cross. Before the resurrection on Sunday, of course, Jesus was crucified on Friday. Jesus was known, of course, as the Lamb of God, as we just sang. Everyone say, Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
The Lamb, gentle, innocent, perfect. Isaiah 53 is this amazing picture of the Lamb of God. It says this: "He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. So again, we have to sit and rest in this reality that Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God, absorbed the full weight of our sin and the just wrath of our holy God on that cross. There weren't any audible roars heard from the cross. There might have been cries of agony or whispers of surrender. The power in that moment was not about loud sounds, because how many of you guys know that lambs don't roar? It was the profound silence of sacrifice. And I just don't want us to miss the significance of the Lamb of God. Because until Jesus came along, there was this strange system that we read about in the Old Testament where the people of God, in order to receive atonement and forgiveness of sin, they had to sacrifice these perfect, unblemished lambs all the time. And here we have the cross as the final lamb sacrifice of God, never to be needed again. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then 3 days later, we have a sealed tomb guarded by soldiers. Death had its grip. Jesus was dead. And that's what this whole day revolves around. That's what the story of Jesus revolves around. He was dead, but now he is not dead. Matthew 28, 1 through 7 kind of shares the story. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Don't you know that was like a holy war right there? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men, as you do. Then the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. So early that morning, the lamb who on Friday was silent before his accusers became the lion on Sundays whose roar ripped through eternity. This was the power of God unleashed for the gain of humanity, for the gain of you and me. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that we have a God who knows how to roar in a gentle way with love and sacrifice. And a God who knows how to roar in a powerful way to break the chains of sin and death. In Revelation 5:5, it says, see, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed, meaning he has won, he's victorious, he's defeated death. Jesus, of course, as we know it, we've said it many times in the church, he is the humble lamb and he is the powerful lion. And this is one of the many beautiful paradoxes of Jesus, the both and nature of Jesus. Where he is humility, but he is also power. Where he is gentle, but he is great. He is greater than us, but he is living with us. That was the passion and the purpose of Jesus. I want to talk about passion and purpose today. His passion displayed through his love for us. His purpose displayed by his power to set things right for us. Everyone say passion. Everyone say passion like you have passion. Everyone say passion.
Passion.
Everyone say purpose.
Purpose.
If I was going to ask you, what's the passion of your life? Could you answer it? Or if I said, do you feel like you have purpose in your life? Would you be ready to say what that is? Do you live from passion and with purpose? For Jesus, his passion and his purpose was demonstrated in his holy roar. Humility and power, sacrifice and victory. And so today, I think it's appropriate, since the empty tomb is the holy roar, heard through generations, maybe we ask the question of ourselves today. What is the roar of my life? What is the roar of your life? That might be kind of like a cheesy question, but I want you to really think about it, because every life is saying something. Every life is declaring something. Every life is putting something out into the world. It's echoing something. And I actually believe this is an incredibly important thing for all of us to think about. All of us should care about, what is my life saying? Do I have a passion that I'm declaring? Do I have a purpose that I'm living? What is my life declaring? So here's what I want to do today is I want to help today. And I believe Jesus wants to help you too, and I believe God has more for you. I actually believe that in my heart, that, hey, that wherever your life is right now, that God actually has a desire for more for you, more in you and through you. I believe that wholeheartedly. And if you believe that, I think today you can also agree with it. Maybe God has you here for a reason today, and maybe he wants to do something through this time. So what is the roar of your life? And to help us consider that question, I have a tool that I created that I think can help us. It's a little 2x2 grid that works a bit like a mirror, meaning we're going to talk about your life today. And as I talk through this, you're going to go, hold on, is he talking about me? And I'm going to be like, yeah, I am. Because someone, just so you know, someone gave me notes on your life, and I'm talking about your life. So I wrote my message about you today. And you're like, did you really? Maybe. On this 2x2, on one axis, we have passion for God going up and down. So up means you have more passion. Down means you have less passion. On the other axis, you have purpose with God. To the right means you have more purpose. To the left, of course, you have less purpose. So we're going to walk through these four quadrants one at a time. And we're going to start with that one in the top left. A life with a lot of passion but a low purpose. We'll call this a life that roars with a lot of hype. Meaning it's one of those things. It's so easy to drift, by the way, into this becoming the comfort zone of your life. There's a lot of passion here, a lot of energy, which can be a beautiful and powerful thing, right? We all need passion in life. We all want passion in life. In fact, we say it all the time here. God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for passionate people. That's what he wants. But passion without purpose becomes a life with a lot of volume, a lot of movement. But often that movement is on the surface, and it lacks the depth that only purpose can bring. People in this space are often excited, but they are unanchored. And when we lack purpose, we default to searching for experiences in life that will make us feel better about life. And it actually feeds the philosophy that I was calling the everything is great philosophy of life. Y'all know what this is? You know when someone says, how you doing? And you're like, and they're like, great. You're like, really? Yeah. They're like, yeah, everything's great. Life's great. Everything's great. Family's great. Right? Health is great. Dinner is great. Work is great. And you're like, really? I heard you just lost your job. And you're like, no, but that's great. Because now I have a great opportunity for a great new thing in my life, and everything's great. Right? You know this person? You are this person? Hype is all sizzle and no steak, right? It's all surface and no substance. Am I talking to anyone?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Do you feel like you are just trying to hype yourself up with the things of life to make yourself feel better? Hype, it plays out in so many ways. It plays out on social media, where life gets filtered. By the way, filtered living is becoming their culture's favorite pastime. Where we love to curate a version of our life that looks beautiful and wonderful on the outside, meaningful, super fun, but on the inside, behind the scenes, there's burnout, there's frustration, there's boredom, and there's emptiness. And this is where we fall for the comparison trap in life, where we start comparing ourselves to the filtered versions of other people. Hype plays out in all sorts of things, things like retail therapy, where we seek the temporary dopamine rush through another purchase. Hype chases the next adventure to find the next great thing. Like I said, I love my passionate people. In fact, I would like to think that sometimes I am passionate. But are you living with a God-given purpose as well? You see, hype turns into feeding off of experiences in life. And the less great we feel, the more experiences we look for. And when we're struggling with experiences, we get desperate. We keep looking and we keep searching. We find ourselves turning to things we thought we'd never do for a cheap thrill. And this is where sin enters. This is where addiction enters. This is where all sorts of things enter that God doesn't want a part of your life but you are so addicted to hype that you're willing to do anything. Have you ever felt the need for hype even spiritually? Where we live from one spiritual high to the next, and when we're in a little bit of a valley, we think, well, but everything's not great. What am I going to do? And so we're like, we start to look for blame, and we start playing the blame game. Maybe it's them, maybe it's them, maybe it's the church, maybe they're not doing their thing anymore. And we start thinking, I need more hype in my spiritual life. But listen, we don't need hype, we need hunger. And here's what happens to hype people in the church. When hunger calls us deep, hype just falls asleep. And what I mean by that is, the problem is hype struggles with the intention of having passion with purpose. Mark Sayers, in his book, The Disappearing Church, which I love this book, he says, the church is often tempted to trade depth for intensity. We're just trying to get intense about stuff. But formation cannot happen at the speed of hype. The kingdom of God is a slow, deep work. Everyone say deep.
Deep.
Hype without purpose will leave you burned out and disappointed. And here's the hard truth. God's not wanting to hype you up anyway. He's wanting to shape you up. The ultimate problem with hype is it's unsustainable because everything is not always going to be great. There'll be challenges. Jesus, of course, was never driven by hype in his own life. You know, one of my favorite moments signaling the passion and purpose of Jesus was right after he fed the 5,000 with the few loaves and the few fish that he had. And the crowd's like losing their mind at this point. Like, Jesus is amazing. You know what I mean? They're like, why wouldn't he? So they're like, we need to make him king right now. They're ready to like charge Jerusalem, start a revolution, and put Jesus on the throne. And here's the thing. Jesus had it all right in that moment. He had the momentum. He had the crowd. He had the moment. And what did he do in this moment? He walked away. He withdraws from hype because his mission wasn't to be crowned by the crowd. It was to be crucified for the crowd. So again, what is the roar of your life? Too many of us, more than we'd like to admit, are just trying to find our seat on the hype train, trying to talk ourselves into life being about the things like being great on the through a bunch of experiences, filtered living, the accumulation of more things. But I just want to say, we are way too smart. Everybody in this room is way too smart to know that our life has more purpose than that. It does. Let's go to number two. Down to the bottom right quadrant, a life of high purpose but low passion. That's a life that roars with a lot of hustle. Everybody say hustle. Hustle. Before we get into this, I do want you to know I'm not demonizing hype and hustle. They have their place in this life, but they are, I'm calling them out as unsustainable versions of living that too many people are relying on. Because in our modern culture, hustle is being praised and esteemed. Clearly a life of hustle, the good kind of hustle, by the way. Clearly, a life of hustle has several good qualities because it has a lot of purpose. In this space, it's where we know what we're supposed to do. We got goals, values, structure. Often, we're able to accomplish a lot and do a lot of great things. But before long, the joy is gone because without passion, it's all drive and no delight. It's a life of constant productivity, but little presence. How many know that in America, our suffering is at the altar of efficiency? You should remember that one because this is so true about life. Get as much done as possible, as fast as possible. You ever have one of those days you're like, am I human or am I a machine? Right? You get up, it's nonstop, perform, produce, provide, perform, produce, provide, perform, produce, provide. It's like that's what you're doing every day, every day. And you feel like all life is telling you to do is go harder and faster every day, telling you it's the only way to actually make it. I think a lot of us land in this quadrant. We kind of admit it, and some of us put a badge of honor on ourselves on how much hustle we'd have. Can we go ahead and admit this, though? Hustle is exhausting. You never feel like you've done enough. You never arrive. You're in the constant treadmill of self-justification, justifying why you do what you do to yourself and telling your spouse if you're married, like, hey, we're going to get there. It's just a little bit further. We'll turn the corner and everything will slow down. And the truth is you've been saying that for a long time. There's more work to do, more house to clean, more events to go to, more networking, more opportunities, more money to make. We have stereotypes for this, right? We got the workaholic who sacrifices their family for the sake of their career. We have the entrepreneur who's so consumed that they have no time for friendships. We have the student who's overcome and focused on their grades so much that they forget to enjoy learning and they struggle under the weight of anxiety as a result. This is the roar of so many in life, and it's robbing you. So when someone asks you, hey, how you doing? This person doesn't say, everything's great. What they say is, man, everything is busy. How you doing? Oh, I said, busy, you know, Tim. Just trying to get over that hump, you know? Just trying to make things happen. Keep my head above water. You know what I mean? You're like, it's just a season. It's just a really busy season. Dude, you've been in that season for 15 years. You're like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then before you know it, you're like, oh no, that's a train. And so you start running the other way because you're about to get crushed. So even when you think it's almost over, it just makes you hustle more. This is the roar of so many. Dallas Willard, in The Spirit of Disciplines, he speaks to this when he talks about the danger of functional atheism. You better catch this one. Living as if God doesn't matter in the practical details of your life. Come He's like, hey, listen, hustle leads to this, where our purpose becomes disconnected to God's purpose for you. And so we just kind of live as functional atheists. Yeah, we believe in God, but you know what? We don't apply him to the way we live. Willard also has one of the great quotes of the last 50 years that a lot of people have stolen, including me. And he says, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Jesus was so full of purpose, but absent of hustle. There were times the disciples were freaking out how busy things were. Like, Jesus, everybody wants to see you. Everybody wants to see you. And he'd be like, oh, it's okay. Just wait. And he would withdraw to a lonely place and he would pray. He never sacrificed prayer for productivity. Uh-oh, how you doing with that? Am I talking about your life? I know I'm talking about mine. When the disciples felt like there was no time for Jesus to talk to the children, which makes sense. Man, you little kiddos, get out of here. Jesus ain't got no time for you. Ain't nobody got time for that. And then Jesus is like, what are you doing? Let the little children come to me. Parents, we need to make time for our children. We're so busy letting them just, and we let them get the leftovers, the scraps of our lives. When Lazarus died, Jesus received an urgent message to come quickly. Jesus got to come now. He waits 2 days. He just sits around. Why? Because he had a greater purpose in mind. When the disciples were fighting the furious storm, they're freaking out, they're worried, they're going to die. Jesus was peacefully asleep on a pillow in the stern of the boat. They wake him up, and he's like, what are you guys worried about? He said, quit worrying and working yourselves to death. God is in control. What is the roar of your life? This one is so real. Because hustle is the roaring fire consuming people one person at a time right now. Number three, bottom left quadrant, a life with low purpose and little passion is a hollow life. Some of us feel no roar in life. It's an empty cry at best. It's the silence of despair, the whisper of what's the point of all of this? Hollow and empty of passion and purpose. It's where a lot of people live. There's a sense of emptiness in this space, apathy, disconnection, disappointment. Life can feel meaningless, directionless. If you don't have purpose or passion, you start to feel stuck in a rut, going through the motions, feeling like you're going nowhere. You're breathing, but you're not really living. We start to become numb to our own emotions. We start to struggle with depression and anxiety, which are really just ways of which we say you're living a life without passion or purpose. The inner roar is one of pain and confusion. So this is actually a dangerous place to be if this is where you're at. And what I'd want to say to you today, first of all, is that you're not alone, that God sees you, that God loves you, that God wants to even come near to you in this time. I'd also say you have a church or a group of people around you that say, we want to do the same thing. We want to come near you. We want you to know you are not alone. And I'd also say, even today, that you don't have to leave here the same way you came in. God has more for you. You know, one of the most powerful stories in the Bible is in John 4, when Jesus walks up to a woman at the well who is broken and empty and in essence hollow. She's got no friends. It seems as if she's got no love in her life. And Jesus meets her in this moment, and he says, you know what? If you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And so she drinks this water, and it filled up her hollow life to where she was overflowing with the love of God, and it poured out into her city. Jesus said that he came to give life and give it to the full. He fills the empty and hollow with passion and purpose. Author Brennan Manning, he said, Jesus didn't come for those who are full of themselves. He came for those who feel hollow. If your life is hollow, if it's an empty roar, today you can hear that Jesus actually came for you. That's why he walked out of that tomb. Let's get to number four, the upper right quadrant. A life of high passion for God and growing purpose with God is a holy life. This is where our life becomes a holy roar. This is where passion and purpose come together. I mean, think of it like a symphony orchestra, right? The symphony, you know, each instrument in the orchestra, they have their own voice, they have their own thing that they do. That's their passion, but they're coming under the direction, if you will, of the same score and the same conductor leading them in order to do what? To create a beautiful sound or a roar that glorifies the Creator. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all." Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever your passion is, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Do with all your passion and do with all your purpose in the name of the Lord. I watched a movie a few weeks ago called Bonhoeffer, which is about a guy named Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in Germany during Hitler's rise to power. Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke out against Nazism, and he was even part of an unsuccessful plot to take Hitler out before the war began. His amazing story of faithfulness. He was eventually arrested, sent to a concentration camp, and he died there as a prominent figure of the resistance and bold faith in Christ. He was a pure example of passion and purpose. And in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, which is an amazing title, and the title alone makes it worth the read, The Cost of Discipleship, he writes this radical line that says, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." Whew. Jesus says, in essence, "Will you die to yourself so that you can live for more with me?" This is the holy call of true passion and true purpose. A lot of us have passion and purpose. It's just for the wrong thing. So let's consider this graphic today for just a minute and consider it as a tool that's a mirror that helps you in life. If you plotted your life on that little grid, where would it be? And I get it, life ebbs and flows. One day you might be in one quadrant, another day you might be another. But which one feels most familiar to you? Go ahead and pick one right now. Choose one. What's the dominant thing that your life echoes? It would kind of be the roar of your life. Have you been trying to rely on hype and the feel-goods of life, experiences, or to keep the hustle going? Or maybe your life feels hollow. Or maybe none of those apply to you. You're like, "Tim, none of those even really fit me." Okay, I get it. There's other ones. Maybe life is hard. Maybe life is hurting. Maybe life feels hopeless. Maybe your life needs healing. Maybe your life is hidden and you feel like you're hiding from it. Maybe your life feels hectic. I don't know what it is, but every life is declaring something. Every life is saying something. Perhaps your life is echoing something good. You're like, "Tim, no, mine's holy right now. Mine's hopeful. Mine's hungry. Mine's healed." Okay. But whatever it is, your life is echoing something. And I need to remind us that the empty tomb is the holy roar that echoes through every generation, and it's the resurrection of Jesus that will give us real passion and real purpose to echo the very things that God has created us to echo, created us to say. Does anybody agree with that? Can I get an amen? Amen. Before we're done today, I have to teach you something. I want to teach you the Hebrew words for holy roar. You guys want to learn some Hebrew?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put it on the screen here. So the white part, that's the pronunciation part, all right? So this is the word holy roar. I'll say it first. She'ega kedosha. She'ega kedosha. Everyone say she'ega kedosha. I need everybody to participate. No one is exempt. You showed up to church today, you better act like the church today. Everybody say She'ega kedosha. One more time. She'ega kedosha. Which means sacred roar. Like the roar of a lion, but at a deeper meaning, it is God breaking through history. This is what it means. They're like God's thundering voice from heaven coming into the earth with authority and with life and with power and with love, and most demonstrated through the roar of resurrection. That's the holy roar of heaven. She'ega kedosha. Which you would think, okay, heaven's calling out with this cry, this holy roar from God. What's earth saying back? What are we saying back? Well, there's a different word for a holy roar of praise, meaning we get to say a holy roar back to God. He sent a holy roar into the earth. We get to send a holy roar up to heaven. And that word is Shabbak. Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak. A lot simpler. He's like, listen, you guys can't handle the big words. I'm going to give you a short one. It's Shabbak. Everyone say Shabbak.
Shabbak.
I want to say it three times. Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak.
Shabbak, Shabbak,
Shabbak. Say it again. Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak.
Shabbak, Shabbak.
It's almost like a call and respond. Heaven cries out, thunders with a holy roar. Earth erupts in praise. Because here's what Shabbak means. Shabbak is an unashamed, bold, joyful. It's not quiet or contained. It's a holy roar of praise. So it's like this call and respond of heaven and earth. Where heaven's saying, it's saying, She'ega kedosha. And earth is saying, Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak. Ke'eda, gosh, kedosha, Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak. And I said to the first service, I wasn't going to cut this, but we're not going to cut it. We're going to do it. I'm going to say heaven's line. You guys are going to say earth's line. So I'm going to say it, and then you're going to respond with a loud, bold, unashamed praise, a holy roar. And we're going to act like the church because we are the church. Are you all ready? So heaven cries out, She'ega kedosha.
Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak.
Oh, that was okay. We're going to lift up a holy roar, I said. Heaven says, Ke'ega kedosha.
Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak.
That's better, but I think we got more. Ke'ega gosh, kedosha.
Shabbak, Shabbak, Shabbak.
That's the holy roar. It could be the sound of your life. And you're like, oh, what do you mean? I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about the praise, the exuberant praise, where your lungs filled up and you let it out of your life.
Yeah.
Where you're like, listen, I want a holy roar to come out of me into the world. This is what I'm talking about, is that heaven has already done its work. It has sent a thunderous, holy roar from heaven into the earth through the resurrection of Jesus. And that should do something in us. Where a bold, triumphant, unashamed, unapologetic, holy roar comes out of us into the world full of passion and purpose, that we would be the people of God that will not be silent. Do you understand? The holy roar is not just what God did. It's what God did to do in us, that we would become the holy roar of Him. That we, this is us. We're talking about us. We're talking about our life. The holy roar of passion and purpose with God. So many of us, the roar of our life, it's joyless hustle. It's empty hype. And it's hollow. It's a hollow life that feels desperate and needy. And Jesus said, no, I've done something for you through the cross and through the grave. Which brings us back. I'm going to close. You thought that was the closing, didn't you? I mean, it seemed big. Surely he's about to say, let's pray. We got to go back to this powerful image, though, in Revelation 5. We'll close with this. The Apostle John receives a vision from the Lord. And it says, see the lion. Everyone say, see the lion.
See the lion.
So you got to imagine, John's got this vision. And the Lord says, see the lion. He's like, all right. He thinks he's going to look and he's going to see a lion, this bold, majestic, you know, regal authority of this beautiful lion. The very next verse, let me read it. See the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David has triumphed. So he's going to look and see the lion. The next verse says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. Woo! In one breathtaking image, the Apostle John's like, he's like, he gets this vision, see the lion. He's like, all right, but that's a lamb. He's like, yeah. So what are we doing here? The lamb is the lion? Hold on, I thought the lamb was the goat. So the lion is the lamb and the lamb is the goat. I need that shirt. We already know it, right? We say it all the time, but do we really understand it? What is the paradox of the lion and the lamb really saying to us? What does it mean about the holy roar of our life? Got to think about this. The invincible power of God revealed most profoundly through a couple different things. One, the sacrificial love of Jesus laid down on the cross for us, the Lamb of God. But also the roar of the lion to come out of that grave and to break the chains of sin and darkness and life that is empty and hollow. You see, we must live with the holy humility of the Lamb of God in us, the willingness to serve others, to lay down our own desires, to lay down even our lives, to love our enemies, to extend grace and forgiveness to those who don't deserve it. And we must also have the passion and purpose of the roar of the lion in us, the boldness to speak truth to power, to stand up for the injustices in this world, the unwavering conviction to live for a life for what is right in this world, and the unwavering passion to cry out bold, joyful, unashamed worship to heaven, no matter what people think. See, the holy roar that echoes from the empty tomb now lives in us. The same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, guess what? It lives in you. It lives in you and you and you and you. I see you here. I see people that are here every week. And I'm like, man, praise God you're here every week. Praise God. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what God's doing in your life. But you know what? You know what? There's more that God has for you. You are here for a reason today. You are here for a reason today. And that reason is to bring something out of you that only God put in you. And he put it in you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That when that comes in us, the Holy Spirit dwells within us now. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And from that Spirit is how we live out the holy roar of heaven out of us and into the world. We are now the dwelling place of God. His Spirit lives in us so we can live in the world. My friends, Easter is not for hype and hustle, but how many of you know that a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, absentmindedly think that's what it's about? Let's hype people up. Let's do a bunch of stuff. Let's try and make it better next year. It's about the holy roar of God thundering from heaven and the holy roar of his people unashamedly praising him back. Jesus came to give us a life of great passion and great purpose. I believe God has you here for a reason today. And it may be to wake you up and you didn't even know you were asleep. You said, I thought I was awake. I have to deal with the fact that I'm a person that tends to dip down into hustle, to get more done, to do great things. But God didn't do me to do great, or he didn't create me to do great things. He created me to live with and for a great God. And sometimes we have to wake ourselves back up into the senses of what God has created us for. And today I believe you can change what your life declares. You can change the roar of your life. So I'm gonna pray, and I'm just gonna pray the Holy Spirit would have his way as we open up our hearts to the ministry of Jesus in this place through prayer, through hope, through worship. And so would you bow your heads as I pray for us. Holy Spirit, we need you and we want you. We pray that you release your passion and your purpose in your people today. We pray there'd be a holy roar that comes out of us, not with hype and not with hustle, but with a passion and a purpose for you. We know you've come to change everything about everything. Maybe you don't describe your life as hollow, but maybe you do describe your life as needing God. I want to invite you to receive God's gift of salvation today. All are welcome in God's kingdom. We just have to accept his invitation. You know, the Bible says that Jesus comes and he knocks on the door of our heart, meaning he comes and he approaches us, he draws near to us. But it says that we need to open that door and let him in. And if you're ready to do that, I want to help you. If you want to receive God's gift of salvation today, if you want to start a life with him, the Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible also says that if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And you can just repeat this prayer right where you're at. You can just whisper it to God. But just say this. Start with this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just pray that wherever you're at. Jesus, I give you my life. I'm going to say it one more time for anybody that hasn't started but wants to. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. I ask you to fill the empty, hollow parts of my life. I ask you to give me passion and purpose. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. I surrender my life to you, and I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to pray over you, and so I'm going to ask you to do something real bold. No one's looking around, but I just want to pray for anybody that said that prayer. Would you just lift your hand real quick so I can pray over you? If you prayed that, thank you so much. Tons of hands going up. Praise God. God is so good. He loves you. He sees you. He's proud of you right now. And he wants to do life with you from this point forward. So, Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand up on the balcony, down in here, on the floor. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would just seal this moment in their heart, that there'd be a deep roots growing from this seed right now. And that, Lord, you would give them a passion for you and a purpose with you that is unbreakable. God, change them now from the inside out. We pray this in your holy name. And everybody said, amen. Can we celebrate the Lord? Come on. Would you stand with us? We're going to take just another 5 minutes or so to just respond to the Lord. We got a song and we have prayer ministry happening right up here. Our team will be here to pray with you. If there's anything we can pray with you about. But I believe freedom is going to break through in this place. I believe God has freedom for the bold today. I believe there's breakthrough coming for those who seek it. And so if today you're like, man, I need that in my life. I need freedom. I need breakthrough. I want to encourage you to come as we worship and as we pray.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.